This is Hidden Killers with Tony Brewski. Here now, Tony Brewski.
How about old Harvey, huh? I didn't know what to think of Harvey until Donna Adelson's sentencing. Then I think, got an opinion. I think a lot of us feel that way. For a while there, I was thinking, you know, is he, and I still do wonder, is he a victim of Donna as well? Is he so invested in supporting the leader as a flying monkey, as maybe chief flying monkey, for doing the Wizard of Oz narcissism reference to Donna Adelson, that it is literally impossible to see anything outside of the witch's castle? Anything beyond that is just, you just can't see it. It's not even like registering that there could possibly be anything outside of the walls of Donna Adelson land. I don't know. There's a kind of silence that feels staged. The courtroom was full, but you could almost hear the sound of life collapsing in real time. That's a sound that came just before Harvey Adelson stood up to speak. The husband of Donna, the father of Charlie and Wendy, the man who once presided over a family that believed itself untouchable. He didn't look like a man walking into history. He looked like someone trying to pretend this wasn't happening. He adjusted his glasses, cleared his throat, and addressed the judge as though this were a misunderstanding that good manners could fix. "Thank you, Your Honor, and officers of the court." The opening line of a man who still believes decorum can rewrite the past. At least there was decorum at the very beginning. That's what made it eerie. The ritual politeness, the soft tremor of voice, the echo of a life that had always been neat, predictable, successful, until it wasn't. Because behind that tone was wreckage. His wife, convicted in a murder-for-hire plot to silence her daughter's ex-husband. His son already serving life for organizing it. His daughter walking free, but not untarnished. And Harvey, the one who stayed out of headlines for a decade, was suddenly the last Adelson standing in public. When he said, "My wife sacrificed everything for our family." He believes it. That's how she fed it. That's how it was seen within the confines of the castle. You could feel the collective question rise in the air. Did she? But sacrifice isn't supported or isn't supposed to include someone else's blood. But Harvey spoke as though that line erased everything that came after. The wiretaps, the money trails, the recorded conversations dripping with guilt. None of that matters. That's all scuttlebutt. It's just it's distraction. Distraction from the real woman that Donna is. That's my conjecture. That's the Adelson reflex, to sentimentalize crime until it sounds like duty. That's how narcissists justify what they do. It's sentimentalized. It's something that is required, something you're doing, even if the person that you're doing it for doesn't know that it's good for them. Adults, I'm not talking small children, although they did continue to treat their once small children like small children as they became adults. So paying the bills, doing adult stuff that they should have figured out around the age of 18. "Well, I guess that's a bad thing now." As Donna Adelson's attorney, Tom Petty, so eloquently put it, "I guess that's a bad thing, helping your children." The difference between helping and enabling. And coddling. To the point that they will do literally anything for you because you're their dear leader and they think they don't have agency or independence, and they go as far as murdering people that feel inconvenient to you. That's just a bad thing. But this is about Harvey. He spoke about love like it was proof of innocence, about marriage, like it was a moral credential. Got those stamped. Couldn't possibly be bad. He mourned anniversaries spent apart, dinners gone cold, grandchildren they can't see, even though they've had access forever, and the other ones didn't, but he wanted to twist that table around a little bit. Because he's seen pictures, damn it! Wendy has shown him pictures. So it must be... He painted Donna not as a co-conspirator, but as a saint, a woman crushed by an unjust world. And look, that's how he sees it. That's how that prism's working. I don't honestly think Harvey's up there thinking anything other than what he is saying. In his perspective, through his prism, termite hate, that is his truth. And the whole time he never said Dan Markell's name. That omission is an oversight, it's defense, because to speak the victim's name would mean admitting there was one and would puncture the illusion that the Adelsons were simply caught in a misunderstanding between two families. So Harvey filled the silence with himself, his heartbreak, his confusion, his disbelief, and I'm sure he is filled with all of it. This is what narcissistic collapse sounds like when it wears a suit. He told the judge, something to the effect of, he screamed in his mind when listening to witnesses, a line that revealed more about himself than I think what he meant. It's the psychology of control unraveling in real time. He couldn't scream out loud because that would be undignified. So he contained it, the way his family has contained everything for years. And I'll give him credit. He did keep his face pretty calm throughout the whole trial. So while he may have been screaming in his mind, Donna was very much showing it on the outside. You knew what Donna was thinking. The rage, blame, fear, guilt, all wrapped into the package of civility. Harvey played his cards close during the trial. But inside that packaging, feels like denial was still doing cartwheels. Harvey's world was built on certainty. He was the patriarch, the provider, the voice of reason when Donna schemed and Wendy spiraled. At least that's what I would take out of it. He kept the peace, allegedly, by believing his own myth that their family was special, smarter, deserving of exceptions. After all, they were the owners of the Adelson Institute. That myth was the real crime scene. Because when you believe your own story long enough, the truth starts to feel like an insult. That's what this speech was, a desperate attempt to resurrect the old story. He wasn't speaking to the judge. He was speaking to history, trying to leave a version of events where Donna was good, Charlie was misunderstood, and Harvey was the collateral damage of an unfair world. But there's something tragic about watching a man cling to denial like it's oxygen. He kept saying things like, "She's done nothing wrong." Even as the evidence towered over him, the phone records, the wiretapped calls, the coded language about the TV being taken care of. The family's own words had convicted them. And yet in Harvey's mind, the script still called for a happy ending. You'd certainly want it to if you're in that position, wouldn't you? Even when reality is completely against you, your mind is still going to go there. That's what happens when the image you've built your whole life around. I'm talking like the image of Donna, of the family, of all this. when you build your image around people like that, and they become impossible to maintain, this is what happens. The psychology of a patriarch under siege isn't repentance, it's rebranding. He can't undo the crime, so he recasts the narrative. Again, this is narcissistic thinking 101. And I'm not saying Harvey is a narcissist, but in a case like this, in a situation like this, your mind's going to default to self-protection mode, and self-protection mode quite often looks like narcissism. And I don't know what kind of balance is going on here, if this is all narcissism or if this is, it's par for the course when you're put into this sort of a corner, even if it's a corner you helped create. And again, Harvey has never been charged with anything. So that's up in the air. But you have to survive in your mind. You have to keep going. And it's not something a lot of people like to look at themselves as being on the side of the predator, the perpetrator, the evil one, the victimizer. It's a weird corner to be in, especially if you truly didn't have anything to do with it, which I don't know that he didn't, but he's never been charged with anything. But if you're in that shock of a space, yeah, you're going to be messing with that narrative in your mind. It's a matter of survival. I'm not excusing Harvey. I am explaining Harvey. At least how I would understand him. You have to tell yourself that you're a victim. Victims of disloyal friends, corrupt prosecutors, media distortion, anything to avoid the mirror. You look at it and go, shit, I look just like that Jeff Dunham character. Just saying. He looked frail that day, but the performance was strong. The fragility made it easier to pity him until he really got into it. That's part of the manipulation. At least the initial attempt was there. The soft voice, the trembling hands, the repeated feeling of I never thought I'd see this day. The subtext of I'm too old to be guilty. Too loving to be complicit. And so is Donna. She's just like me. But sympathy without accountability is just stage lighting. What made the room so tense wasn't just what he said, it was what he didn't. No acknowledgement of the children growing up without their father, no word for Ruth or Phil Markel other than they're lying. Who have fought for years just to see their grandchildren. He wanted to argue that. No recognition of the pain the family has endured, that his family inflicted. It was a eulogy for himself, masquerading as a plea for justice. And yet, if you followed this case from the start, none of it was surprising. Every Adelson who's spoken publicly has done the same thing. Wendy joked about the murder on camera. Charlie cracked coded language over sushi. Donna spun fantasy after fantasy about moving to a place with non-extradition treaties. This is a family that doesn't process reality. They script it. Harvey was just reading the final page. Psychologists call it narcissistic injury when the self-image of moral perfection is shattered. The psyche defends itself by rewriting the story. I think that's what Harvey was doing. His mind couldn't reconcile the woman he loved with the crimes she orchestrated. So he erased the crime instead. To him, the justice system wasn't convicting his wife. It was betraying his worldview, his wife. It's a hard thing to admit that you've been duped by someone like that for that long. It is. You're like, shit. And Harvey ain't got a whole lot of time to go make good and start over. There's a haunting line he delivers near the end. I thought we lived in a different kind of world. He's right. He did. He lived in a world where money insulated you, where image managed reality, where inconvenient people could be solved like equations, a world where you could buy silence, hire loyalty, and polish every surface until it gleamed. The money with that world, yeah, The money in that world was a world that Harvey relished. They all did. And there's nothing wrong with having money and being successful. This is not an insult on that. It's what you do with that. Do you insulate it? Use it to insulate yourself from bad choices and bad behavior, or do you use it to grow and help and do good? Dan Markell's death tore through the illusion like a lightning bolt through glass. When Harvey speaks, you can almost hear the echo of that world trying to rebuild itself. The polite dictation, the moral indignation, the insistence that good people don't belong in bad places. Bad things happen to good people, right? But that's the thing about justice. It doesn't care how expensive your suit is. The judge doesn't flinch. The audience doesn't applaud. The cameras capture the tremor in his voice. The pause before the final, thank you. And then it's done. The performance ends and the courtroom breathes again.
Breathe again.
Outside, the headlines write themselves. Harvey Adelson defends wife's innocence. No remorse for the family. Denial on display. Inside, the echo of his words lingers. Not because they're convincing, but because they reveal the anatomy of denial in its purest form. Harvey left the courtroom slowly. He did. He lingered. And I'll tell you that if you go back and watch those moments, they're kind of interesting because he was one of the last ones that appears in the courtroom, at least from what we could tell from the cameras. And if you watch the footage at the end of this hearing after Don is carted out and all that, he's sitting there yucking it up with the officers in their courtroom. Go watch the footage. I mean, I don't know if he's just, you know, being nice. And I mean, these people didn't do anything, but I found it odd. Just like everything about this family, going from this speech, this tirade against everything to the end. Oh, well, over here, over there. Where's the door? What's that? Weird. Anyway, it's worth a peek. You can find it on our coverage of the sentencing with me and Robin. Now the Adelsons' world is very different. Donna is away. The world he built has folded in on itself. The grandkids they fought so hard to keep close, gone. The luxury condos, the perfect vacations, the image, all gone. What remains are transcripts, mugshots, recordings, and evidence. And this one haunting performance where a man mistook loyalty for love. The tragedy of Harvey's statement isn't that it was dishonest. It's that he may have believed every word. That's how deep the delusion runs. When a lie becomes your family's religion, confession feels like betrayal. And so he doubled down, protecting the story, even as it destroyed what was left of him. But history does not care about denial. It only records it. And someday, when Wendy's name maybe surfaces in another courtroom, maybe, I don't know, we'll have to wait and see. Stay tuned, as Georgia Kappelman has said. When appeals are filed and denied, when prison becomes the family business, Harvey's words will still be there. The last echo of a man who couldn't accept that he and that the world he thought he lived in was the one he helped create. Because in the end, that's the irony. The world didn't change. The truth was always there. It was the Adelsons who built a fantasy too fragile to survive contact with reality. The court of law delivered its sentence, but the court of public memory, that's where Harvey's performance will serve its own kind of life sentence. And in that sense, his speech wasn't just a defense. It was a confession, one whispered between the lines in every denial, every omission, every she has done nothing wrong. It's a confession of a man who can't live without the story, even as it drags everyone he loves into its grave. It's not a confession of guilt to knowing the murder. But it's a confession of denial. Denial that this is the world you have chosen to surround yourself with. This is the world you've chosen to fund. This is the world you've chosen to be a part of. And now the consequences are coming for that. Whether you knew what your wife and son were up to or not, you get to be free. At least for now. Never charged with anything. And you maintain your innocence. And you may have, you may be, just like you profess your wife to be. Thinking from that way for a second, if you are Harvey, and in your mind, if you knew anything about this, there's no way you'd let it happen. So how on earth would your wife let that happen if she knew about it? That's another hard one to process. Again, this can explain why one might think the way Harvey might be thinking. Maybe I'm giving him too much credit. I don't know. But I like to try and get behind the mind of some of these. So maybe the last act of Harvey Adelson isn't a defense at all. Maybe it's the inevitable ending of a family that mistook manipulation for love and performance for truth. And when he finally said his last thank you and stepped down from the stand, the silence that followed wasn't respect. It was a sound of reality reclaiming the room. Give me your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube if that's where you're watching us. Please press subscribe while you're here. Greatly appreciate that. We put out tons of content just like this every single day. So press subscribe so you don't miss any of it. And hit subscribe wherever you're listening to podcasts if that's where you're picking us up as well. Do appreciate that. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.